Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 109, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Lisa Woodruff. She's a professional organizer who also blogs at Organize365. Oh, and she podcasts too, so she does it all. Lisa is full of energy and great organizational advice. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Lisa Woodruff of Organize 365. Lisa is a professional organizer who lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, with her husband and two children. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started in the professional organizing and then the blogging side business?
Sure. Well, I'm a wife to Greg, and I have two kids. Joey's 15 and Abby is 14. And as you mentioned, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I come from a really long line of entrepreneurs. So my great-grandmother went to college, graduated, was a teacher, owned a floral shop. I mean, like, it's crazy, the entrepreneurial side I came from on my mom's side of the family, all the women, all the way back. And then my dad's family, equally entrepreneurial, not as much college education, but still had that entrepreneurial bent. So when I went to college, there was no question that my parents were going to send me to college, but I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so I went to college and I got 2 degrees in 4 years, but I really was going for an MRS degree, which I got, which means I became Mrs. Woodruff. Yeah, I'm totally not politically correct. I should have been born in the 50s. But I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So for the first 14 years after we were married, I did direct sales, and then I would add services to that. So, like, I was a teacher and I did direct sales. And then we had our kids and I quit teaching, but I did direct sales and I cleaned houses and I did tutoring and I did custom photo albums, to the point at one point I had 9 Schedule C's on my tax return. So I had 9 legitimate businesses in 100 years. And so from 2006 to 2012 was a really, really hard for our immediate and extended family. And I really couldn't find my groove anymore. I was like jumping from job to job and trying to recreate some of the success I had had earlier. And I turned 40 in 2012, and I sat down and really looked at all of these jobs I had done. And I was lucky, like, pretty much anything I set my mind to do, I could find somebody to pay me to do it. Like, I could sell anything. But I was selling so many different things that there was no cohesion. So I looked at all of those things I had done. And I thought, what is the common thread? Like, number one, why do people buy all these random things from me? And why can't I settle on one thing? And I finally realized that what I was doing in every single facet that I did, including the teaching job I currently had, was organization. Like, I literally got this teaching job because my co-teacher was unorganized to the point that they hired me so that I would organize the classroom and the closets. And I did. I organized all the closets in the entire school. And so it was, everything came back to organization. Why did I sell so many scrapbook products? Was because I organized everyone's supplies. I organized how they made the albums. People made 3 to 5 albums a year if they worked with me as a consultant, because I'm so production driven. So it all came down to organization. And January of 2012 is when I quit my teaching job and decided I was going to launch Organize 365, the blog. I had no idea how I was going to make money with it.
Okay, so that was 2012, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so can you walk us through, like, some of the steps you've taken since then to grow and build your audience?
Yes, so I have grown multiple streams of income. I have 9 that I'm going to share with you, just because I think it's really important to see how a progression of a blog happens. Like, so often I'll listen to a podcast and you hear about somebody who makes a blog and that's their whole business, or an Etsy shop and that's their whole business. So what I was going after was taking my organizational skill and turning that into a business. So I started with the blog, Organize 365, really to organize myself, because my life had gotten so unorganized. And I took my teaching and coaching skills to make a lot of content and create a base of what I did as far as being an organizer. But I didn't know I was a professional organizer, so I joined a direct sales company, and I was selling organizational products, but the parties were huge. Like, I'd have 19 people, 23 people, 21 people at these in-home parties. Like, you don't have that big of a party at an in-home party, especially at the end of a recession. So I finally said to my third hostess, I said, why are so many people here? Like, they're just plastic containers. Like, seriously, why is everybody here? And she said, well, everybody wants to know what a professional organizer has to say. I was like, oh, that's right. I'm a professional organizer. So I'd never taken on that title, or I'd never realized that's what I was, but I was. So in April of that year, I started doing professional organizing full time, and I was profitable right away. So I did the blog and I did the professional organization. And then in January, only 9 months later, I added my first team member to my in-home professional organizing team because we needed to assemble things sometimes, and that's really hard to do by yourself. And I love the idea of having a team. Like, I love the idea of being a business owner. And in direct sales, I would build really big teams. So I was just building a professional organizing team, and then I have a team that supports me in my blog. So in fall, 9 months later, I added another person, and now we've added a few more after that. But along the way, I was trying to make money from the blog, and I was looking at bloggers who had started like in 2007 and 2008 and hit that couponing craze, and so they were making a lot of money from advertising or working with brands, and I kept thinking I would be working with brands, but that doesn't really seem to be as – it didn't work for me in my niche for my blog. It does work for some others, and so I really realized I'm better as a teacher. So I created more ebooks. I had written a book in 2008 called Organizing the Business of Direct Sales, and I would go and speak to different direct sales groups, and I would speak at regional conventions. So in 2012, I wrote the book 10 Steps to Organize Paper, which you had the girls on from the Ultimate Bundles. That was in their second bundle, so that really helped me a lot.
Oh, cool.
And then I wrote in 2012, I wrote the Sunday Basket ebook, and also I got my rights back to my first published book, which is called The ABCs of the Bible. So in 2006, I had written a church curriculum that was actually published by Tommy Nelson Publishers, and then they stopped selling it. So I was able to get my rights back and put that on my website. And that's when I found Etsy, which is kind of how I found your blog and podcast, is because I didn't know how to grow my Etsy store. So I was selling all of my ebooks on Etsy and some of my online audio coaching classes. And I was doing coaching on the side. And then I added a podcast a little over a year ago. So my first podcast was Successful Direct Sales, which only has 18 episodes. And I really recorded it to tell people how I was starting another direct sales business and how I was taking it differently this time. Like, I represent a bunch of direct sales companies, but I use them as affiliates on my blog. I don't do in-home parties, and I'm not building teams. So I did a podcast explaining, like, what I see as the new way of doing direct sales. And then in the fall, I stopped that podcast, and I started the Organize 365 podcast. And then in January of this year, I started the Professional Organizers Think Tank podcast. And then just last month, I launched my first physical product on Etsy, and it will be in Amazon stores starting the beginning of October.
What is it? What's that physical product?
So I listened to one of your podcasts. I cannot remember who it is, but she talked about being the magician. And so I was like, oh, I have to go take that test. I want to be the magician. I want to be the magician.
Oh, yeah, Kate Putnam.
Yeah, and I took the test, and I am. I'm the magician. So I was so excited. So that really helped me because I am a teacher and I'm a coach, but I'm not the kind of coach where I'll talk to you every week, get you through every single hurdle. Like, I'm the kind of coach that when you talk to me, I can ask you a bunch of questions and say, okay, here's your target market, here's your brand, here's how you should best use social media to grow your business. That's the kind of coach I am. So I know we're going to talk about 40 weeks in a little bit, but I have this Organize 365 blog, which really is not an income earner. It's like the base of everything I do. It's where I talk about organizing, but there's not a lot to buy on that site. And so I get people all the time trying to get me to organize their house in states, different states. I'm like, I'm in Cincinnati. I can't organize your house. And so I created this kit that's called Organize All Your Papers in One Weekend. And it's essentially me in a box. So it's all the products that I've created related to paper organizing, all printed out for you in a box. If your internet is down, if the power is out, if you can't read on the internet, if you can't get to the store to buy Splash Pockets, it doesn't matter because it's all in the box. So if you're stuck on a snow day, you open up this box and you literally will be able to organize all the papers in your house.
That's a cool product. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a really
you
good
in
idea.
A box. I love that description. I just picture a mini Lisa like popping out like, hey, I'm here to organize.
Well, I do because I record the podcasts that are specific to organizing your paper. I had burned onto 2 CDs. And so there are 8 podcast episodes. So I literally am there. Like you plug the CD in and I start talking. I'm like, okay, first get out this paper. Now do this. Yeah. Right.
That's so fun.
That's too funny. I like that. I mean, with all that you're doing or involved in, I mean, I don't know, keeping track of it all sounds crazy, but like which component do you think is doing the best or that you enjoy the most or that brings in the most revenue? Like how are they all fitting together to make a cohesive sort of business that's working for you?
Yeah, that is a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. Number one, I have a team. Like a couple of years ago, I hired someone to do my social media and someone to edit everything I do. I cannot spell and I don't even understand the rules of grammar. And I have not pinned a single pin on my Pinterest account that has 20,000 followers. And I'm very open about that. I don't understand Pinterest. It gives me a migraine. I start pinning things and it's like I'm putting them on my to-do list. And after I pin 5 things, I'm like, how am I going to get that done? I can't get that done. So Pinterest is great, but it doesn't work for me. So I have those 2 people. I have somebody who does everything for my podcast. Podcasts are great for me. I could sit down and record 5 in 2 hours and send them off to Amanda, and she does everything else. So I outsource. And if you want to scale or grow your business, you have got to outsource. The other thing is being a professional organizer is what has financed every single thing I've done. Some things have made money, some things have not, but that is the one lucrative thing that I'm good at. And I can always make enough money to fund everything doing that. And then the third point is whatever you focus on expands. And that is so true. So whatever thing I'm focusing on, like this paper organizing kit, of course, that's the thing that's making the most money right now. And so other things that we're doing well, all of a sudden will start to drop off. And you can only focus, I can only focus on about 3 things at a time. So right now, I'm focusing on professional organization and this paper kit and learning Infusionsoft because I just bought Infusionsoft. So I try to pick 1 big thing I'm going to focus on for the month and then 4 smaller things. So like next week is all about learning how to get everything on my Amazon store, getting it on the Amazon store, and getting it shipped out. And then the week after that, I'm going to launch my 31 videos in October where I am going to make a new paper organizing video and directly upload it to my Facebook page every single day and see if I can grow my Facebook page from 7,000 to 20,000 subscribers. That's my goal. And see, is Facebook really dead or can I pull that out? And then in November, I won't focus on Facebook as much. So I go really deep on a tiny thing and then I see where that lands a couple months later and if it should stay in the mix or not.
I love that. I think that's a great strategy because we can't do it all. But I can't wait to hear how that goes. I love your like little experiments. We're going to have to chat with you again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I love how you said that in order to grow, you have to outsource. I think a lot of people try and keep everything close to home in-house. Can you maybe enhance on that, like the need to outsource and why that's so important for business growth?
Oh my gosh, I love, love, love outsourcing. If you haven't gotten Chris Ducker's book, Virtual Freedom, listen to his podcast. He has you make 3 lists. And the first list is tasks that you can't do and need to be done. So obviously, like, you know, cutting the grass or whatever, something that you can't do and needs to be done. And then the next list is things that you are doing but you shouldn't be doing. Like some of you are pinning because you love Pinterest, unlike me who doesn't get Pinterest. But maybe you shouldn't be doing your own pinning anymore. Or maybe you shouldn't be scheduling your own social media anymore. Or maybe you shouldn't be packing your own boxes anymore. Because if you're not doing that, you get an extra hour a day and then you could be contacting brands, contacting bloggers to review your product or whatever. Like your time is better spent somewhere else. And I can't remember what his third list is, but essentially I do this all the time. I'm like a productivity nut. I'm always trying to squeeze an extra task out of the hour, an extra minute out of every hour. And so I just wrote a blog post, which is called 10 household tasks you should outsource or you can outsource, because so often we look at outsourcing business tasks and keeping all of the home organizing tasks ourselves. So like if you outsource cleaning your house, which you could do for anywhere from $60 to $120, depending on your market, for me, that saves me 5 hours a week. So if I can't make $60 to $120 in 5 hours, then I shouldn't outsource that. But if I can go do an organizing job for $300, it makes a lot of sense that I outsource the cleaning of my house so that I can go do this money-making thing. So you have to be making money or at least have a plan to be making money. But there are a lot of things that we think we can't outsource just because we haven't thought of it that way. And I'm totally an out-of-the-box thinker. So I always think, how much would it cost for me to do that task, and how much would it cost for somebody else to do that task?
That's a great way to look at it. And you're having me think already. I'm like, oh, I could advertise my Etsy shop critiques more often if I had someone cleaning my house, and I wouldn't feel so overwhelmed when I get like several in a week. Feels like, oh my goodness, that's my limit. So I almost like don't tell people that I'm selling them very much. But I like your thinking, because I can make more from that than the hours on my house cleaning.
And you hit your limit faster than you realize. Like, you do have a limit. Everybody has a different energy level. You could tell mine's a little high, but I need a lot of sleep. So everybody has a different energy level. But when my kids were little, and what I would tell everyone on my direct sales team is not to outsource your parenting, but definitely get help with the kids. So you can clean the house with your little kids around you and talking to them and all of that kind of thing if your kids are little. But I needed uninterrupted work time to be able to think. So what I did was I would hire a nanny on Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., which is 10 hours. I think I paid her like $120. So we're talking the same amount of money as a house cleaner, right? But we're going to get double the amount of time. And then I'm going to tell you about the Sunday basket. So you'd start this work basket for whatever day is your work day. And then as emails come in, you go ahead and print them out and put them in your work basket. Don't leave them in your email inbox. Or something comes in the mail, or something you need to put on your balance sheet, or the two of you think, oh, I need to tell Beth Ann this. So you'd get a post-it note, and you'd write it on the post-it note, and you'd throw it in your work basket. And then when you have the sitter, or your husband takes the kids, or whatever it is, and you go and you start with this work basket, all of your thoughts are there, and you sit there and you go, okay, I need to email Beth Ann, and I need to put this in this thing, and I need, you know, you start to go through all the work so that you're plowing through a ton of work in dedicated time, as opposed to working every nap time all week long for an hour and a half and feeling like you're not getting anywhere.
You're like this efficiency crazy woman.
I am.
But that does make a lot of sense. You're getting that dedicated time to work. And I love that. It makes a lot of sense. You can be much more efficient if you're just like boom, 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 crossing things off the to-do list. Everything is there. You're not wondering what you're supposed to be doing. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a matter of, you know, if you're doing this as a hobby and you don't want anybody watching your children but you, then that wouldn't be an answer for you. But if you really want to make, let's say, $1,000 a month, or you have an income goal that you want to make and your spouse is on board with that, then work one day a week without your kids, or one morning a week, or one afternoon, you know, one weekend day a month, where your spouse takes care of the kids, so that you're actually having the devoted time to meet that income goal. I would get so frustrated when I didn't have enough work time to reach my business goals.
Mm-hmm. Or like even swapping with a friend. I'll watch your kids and my kids for one morning or one day, and then we swap, because like watching extra kids while you're watching your own little kids isn't too terrible. But then if you gain that extra day by yourself, that could be a huge benefit.
Yeah, that's great.
Especially if you had a friend that was entrepreneurially minded and you were both trying to grow your businesses or blogs or Etsy shops, that would be perfect.
Yeah, and then it also makes you feel like you have a job. Like it gives your job some validation because it has its own time block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can be tricky too, like just mentally, that validation factor. I filled out a
paperwork today at the orthodontist for my daughter. And, you know, I put homemaker as, and I've never felt like homemaker wasn't a valid job. Like, I have to say, I've never felt guilty or I've never felt that that wasn't worthwhile. I've always taken pride in being able to say that that's what I am. But on the other hand, I'm starting to think today, I should put self-employed on here now. I should start to, I should say podcaster or something like that on that occupation line.
Yeah, and, I say self-employed.
And, yeah, do you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've been saying that since the day we decided we were going to start this podcast.
I don't struggle with feeling validated in what I do, but I know a lot of people do. But you do need time to work up to where your business is at, maybe what somebody considers a valid level, or others recognize it as valid. I know most people that I know don't recognize what we do as something valid or that it has a purpose or a point.
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, I think they do. They view it as like a fun hobby, but I have a lot of friends that are like impressed. I think definitely with the book writing thing, there was like, oh, you wrote a book? Oh my goodness. And I'll let them know, like, it was self-published. Like, I didn't, we didn't have to get it. But they're still like, they'll be like, whoa, but you wrote a book. Like, oh my goodness, it's the book, you know? So I think that got a lot of credibility in designing the planner. I think that's what people can get. They can get physical products, but I think most people still don't understand that like a podcaster or a blogger could like make money from that. So Lisa, we know firsthand that organization can be a really big struggle for us mompreneurs who are balancing a lot of things. What's the best thing a mompreneur could do to start getting herself organized?
Well, I think it really is creating that distinction between work time and home time. I mean, I know I've been doing this for 20 years, and it is such a struggle for me. Like you guys were just talking about the validating. I do want validated the fact that I work. So hiring a babysitter meant I work and my business could pay for this babysitter. So that was something that I needed. And we have a new puppy and he goes to puppy preschool. And my husband's like, I don't understand why the dog has to go to preschool 2 to 3 days a week. I'm like, okay, fine. Then take him to the office with you and see how many phone calls you can make, you know, uninterrupted. So that was important to me. So I created a free printable that we're going to offer all of your readers at the end. And for me, I use an online Google Calendar. I love it because I could put like my schedule and everybody else's schedule and everything can have a different color and I can see it all. But I'm a very paper pencil person. Like I love your planner because, you know, just having everything all there in front of you, like if the internet is down. And so I plan out my week on one of these sheets where I put in all of my time blocks that are already set. And then at the top, I pick 1 to 3 home goals and 1 to 3 work goals per day. And I usually can't even get that much done. Like if I'm focusing on work, I maybe get 3 work goals done. If I'm just doing like maintenance tasks, like changing out a furnace filter or something, okay, I can get 3 home and 3 work tasks done. But that shows me, so often we're constantly doing email and social media and whatever's most pressing. But once I started planning what my big goal for the week was going to be, and then on those work days, what my top 3 things were I wanted to get done, they weren't email and recording a podcast and making a blog post. It was like, you know, getting Infusionsoft and learning Infusionsoft, figuring out how to sell on Amazon and getting my products uploaded to that store. If I wasn't focused that way, there is no way those things would happen because they take so much time and you never have that much time. So I usually try to find one work day, like I told you that Wednesday when the kids were little, now it tends to be Tuesday or Thursday, that is a hard blocked 6 to 8 hours where I can work on something that is going to grow my business to another level and then do all that maintenance stuff in the middle. And then along with that printout is I do this thing called the Sunday basket. So I told you about how you could put everything for your workday in a basket. It could be a basket, a box, a bag, it doesn't matter. But you have this basket, box, or bag in your kitchen, on your kitchen counter, and it's called your Sunday basket. And every time you go to the mail, if it's like a bill that doesn't need to be paid until Sunday, you put it in the basket. The kids come home with papers from school. They can wait until Sunday. They go in the basket. You have an item that needs to be returned to Walmart. You put it in the basket. And then on Sunday, around 6 o'clock now, but when my kids were littler, it would be when we put them to bed at 8. I would take every single thing out of the Sunday basket, touch it, and say to myself, can this wait until next Sunday, or does it need to be done this week? And everything that could wait went back in the Sunday basket, and everything that could not wait sat in my lap, and I went ahead and made a plan for when it would get done this week. Now, I do a lot, but there are just seasons in life, and especially times of year, like November to December is a really crazy time. May is a really crazy time. August is usually really crazy times for everyone because your calendar is switching for the school year and for the seasons and for the holidays. And at those times, you have so much paper coming at you, like you just start to have a heart attack. But if you have a place to put everything that hasn't been done yet, and you know where it is in case you need it, and every Sunday you check that basket, or whatever day works for you, then you're able to get all of those things that come in those big waves done in a more manageable fashion.
So is the Sunday basket idea, is that it pairs with the Lisa in a box that you're selling on Etsy? Is it the same thing?
Yes. So see, this is why I think blogging is so great, because I started with blogging. As you blog, it's not necessarily always a moneymaker, but what it is it's a clarifier for what you are best at. And I found out that I was constantly talking about how to organize your home, but also how to organize your paperwork. And I rank really high in Google for organized paper because a lot of people don't talk about organizing paper. They talk about going paperless, or they talk about putting it in files, but very few people talk about how to organize paper because I think we either pretend it doesn't exist or nobody has an answer. So 10 Steps to Organize Paper was the first set, and I realized I've been doing this Sunday basket thing for 18 years on my own, and nobody else does it. Like, nobody knows what to do with that kitchen counter pile of papers. So then I wrote a 20-week series on my blog that now runs every Sunday. You're somewhere in the 20-week series, and then it starts over again. And so you could see, well, what if you have cash in your Sunday basket? What if you have school forms in your Sunday basket? What if you have projects in your Sunday basket? And I tell you how I walk through those things. But then people still didn't know how to do the Sunday basket. So I made the Sunday basket ebook, which walks you step by step through going, gathering all of your papers, putting them in laundry baskets. That's your first Sunday basket, is usually two laundry baskets. So don't hyperventilate. That's normal. You'll get down to a smaller Sunday basket, usually around week 6 to 8. That's normal. And it's a way of reorganizing how you do everything. So, yes, the Sunday basket is step one. Well, now that enough people are doing the Sunday basket, they're like, well, what about the files? What about everything else? So organizing all your papers in one weekend has the Sunday basket ebook, the 10 Steps to Organize Paper ebook. It has the one clips I talk about, actual physical clips that go on your refrigerator for each of your kids. And then it has what are called quick guides. So you can see I've got 20 blog posts and a book, and your head is spinning. You're like, okay, it cannot be that complicated to get a Sunday basket started. So when you buy a TV, you get a manual for the TV, which you will never touch. You might as well just put it in your fireplace. But you get a quick guide, and the quick guide has pictures, and it shows you how to plug it in and hook it up, and you're done in 30 seconds, right? So the organizing all your papers in one weekend kit has quick sheets for organizing 10 steps to organize paper. It has a quick sheet for the Sunday basket. It has a quick sheet for the one clip. And it has a quick sheet for something else, which is terrible. I can't remember. Oh, the color-coded printables, because I color-code everything. And then podcasts that go along with that. So how I think 99.9% of the people who use this kit are going to do, they're going to put the CDs in their car or somewhere and listen to the 8 podcasts, read the quick sheets, and never read the ebooks. Like, they're just going to start trying it out, just like we all do when we buy the electronics and never open up the manual.
That makes sense. I think it's smart to have those quick guides for the people who just maybe want that quick solution, but then you offer more for people who want to dig in a little deeper.
Right, right. And if there's one area that you're getting caught up on, you could look at that chapter in the book. And then in the kit, I also have the clips in there. I have the slash pockets I talk about in the Sunday basket actually in the kit. So, like, literally you have no excuse not to organize your paper, because I'm a professional organizer and I'm in the house with people and they're like, we're going to tackle paper today. And within 5 minutes of the session, they're going, you know what, maybe we should go in my daughter's room. And I'm like, no, we're going to the paper today. And if I'm not there, they're off at Starbucks, they're shopping, they're out with a friend, you know, so I know, I understand, I can't get you to do it when I'm standing there. So it's very overwhelming. Paper is so overwhelming. So the Sunday basket, if you can get a handle on the kitchen counter paperwork, you feel like super mom. You just do.
So I assume eventually it goes down in size from a laundry basket to something that will fit a little bit better on the kitchen counter.
Yes, usually it takes about 6 to 8 weeks because when you're doing the laundry basket, I have you go put every single piece of paper in your house in these laundry baskets, like the paper that's by your bed, the paper that's by your bathtub, the paper that's on the desk in the office, the kids' artwork that's wherever you've left that. People are like, are you in my house? How do you know? Everybody's houses are the same, people. Everybody has this paperwork everywhere. Receipts, like people love receipts. So, and Sarah, you probably love receipts because you do that. But people normally keep all those receipts until tax time and then they go, what do I do with these? So all of that, I say put it all in the laundry basket because as you go through the system, I say, okay, step one, when you go through the laundry baskets the first time, all you're doing is looking for things that can be trashed or shredded. Okay, week two, the only thing that you're looking for this time are things that you could put in the filing cabinet downstairs. Okay, week three, and slowly your paper is becoming more and more manageable. But if your kid says, oh my gosh, I have that birthday party today at 3, you know that that invitation is somewhere in those laundry baskets, so you're good.
Sure, sounds good. So is the Sunday basket part of your 40-week challenge series, too, that you do? I know I saw a lot of discussion about that. I know you did like 40 weeks on your podcast. Is the Sunday basket one or several of those challenge weeks?
Yes. So 40 Weeks, One Whole House started all the way back in January 2012. When I started Organize 365, all I knew about blogging was you needed to be consistent, you had to have a niche, and then you had to have content. And so I had just come out of a really challenging time in our family, and our entire house was disorganized. I mean, I had gone to the grocery store, I came home, it was the first day I was home, and the kids were at school, and I'd quit my job, and I walked in with the bags, and there was no kitchen counter to put them on, and I thought, no problem, I'll just put it in the cabinets. And I opened up the cabinets, and they were so overflowing, I couldn't put anything in there, and I had to put the groceries on the floor. And I realized my entire house was that way. Like, every drawer was a junk drawer, my kids were almost teenagers and we still had sippy cups in there. And I'm a professional organizer. Like, I was one then too. I'm a very organized person. But life had just spun completely out of control. So I was like, all right, how am I going to tackle this house? And I divided it into 20 zones and I did a zone a day because I'm insane and blogged about it, which just about killed me to try to organize my entire house top to bottom in 40 days and blog about it. And a couple of crazy people tried to keep up with my pace for like 3 days, and then nobody else followed me after that. So the next fall, I was like, you know what, this was a really good thing, and people could do this if I like made it more normal, like 40 weeks. So I did 40 weeks, and I did the same 40 areas in my home again. Then the next year, I did it again with all of my blog readers and had a professional photographer come over and take pictures to make those blog posts look better. And then last year, when I did the 40-week challenge again on the blog and followed it myself, that's when I added the podcast so people could really hear me talking as if I was professionally organizing you in your home. And what I tell people is it takes 3 times going through this challenge to get your home really organized, because the first time you're just getting rid of what you don't need, and the second time you go a little bit deeper, and then the last year you're putting all those final touches on it. So as I got deeper and deeper into this 40 weeks, week one is organizing paper, which now has become like, if you found week one and you tried to do week one all in week one, you'd probably like not like me very much, because it's all of this organizing all your papers in one weekend thing. I think you could organize paper 1 year and then do your house the next. But yes, it is week one. The Sunday basket is week one because the first 4 weeks, you don't even organize anything in your house. Week one is paper. Week two is calendars and planners. Week three is organizing lunches, breakfast and lunches. And week four is, are you going to sell things or are you going to donate things? Because you have to make all of those decisions before you start organizing a space. If we started week one in the kitchen, you would stop immediately because the kids are hungry and you have to feed them. Or, oh, somebody's got a birthday party. Now I've got to go buy a gift and take them there. And you wouldn't get any momentum because you wouldn't know what's on your calendar, where your paper is, or what snacks you're going to feed the kids while you're doing this challenge.
That makes sense. And I think that's such an interesting approach to take the same awesome 40-week challenge, but then you just add a little twist every year. You improve it, add extra, you know, content or better photos or the podcast. I think that is such a smart idea. And there you go, being like super productive because you're using your great content and like you're able to use it over and over again.
Yeah, it's been great. And it's allowed me to focus more on really helping people organize their home and using the system as opposed to generating more and more and more content. You know, there are only so many ways you can organize a laundry room. So let's really motivate people to organize their laundry room as opposed to me, you know, blogging the 16th time about how to organize a laundry room.
Yeah, because there's no point putting out pointless content. If you already have made great content, making subpar content isn't going to help your blog or your readership. That does make a lot of sense. And I thought it was interesting that your 40-week challenge that you have offered three times now, that you explain that you offer the information for free in many locations, in blog posts and in podcast episodes, but that you also offer it in email format, but for that you charge a fee. Can you explain your reasoning behind that and how that concept is going?
Yes. So this spring, I decided that the new thing I was going to add to the 40-week challenge this year was I was going to have an app developed. So I paid to have an app developed both for Android and for iTunes, and I opted to give it out free. There's no fee for my app. And the reason I did that was because I didn't want people to have to pay for an app. And you know, as podcasters, once you record a podcast, it moves to the bottom of the feed. And after you have 100 podcasts recorded, then people can no longer see your very first podcast on their phone. Like, they'll have to go to their computer, go to iTunes, find your older podcasts, select them there, and then it'll send it to your phone. Well, my target audience is not organized, so that's not a good idea. So my 40 Weeks, One Whole House podcasts are at the very beginning of my blogging, and I think I'm on podcast number 68 on that platform. So they would have to scroll all the way to the bottom to find the week they want and then play that week. So I made the app so that they could find the podcast and the blog post without having to search throughout my content at all. But I offered it free to them, but it cost me quite a bit of money to have it developed. And then I had offered the 40 weeks as an email last year, but there was a problem with it. I was doing MailChimp. And when you signed up, you could start at week one, but you couldn't start at whatever week we were at. And the only way to fix that was to go to Infusionsoft, which is a very expensive email service provider. But with Infusionsoft, people can sign up and start the 40-week challenge at week one. Like, let's say they find it January 1st and they want to start at week one, even though we're at week 19. They can do that. Or they can jump in at week 19 with us. And with both plans, next fall, they will be back at week one together. So no matter when you buy it, you will be in it like for the rest of your life until you decide you don't want to be in it. It'll always start over every single year. So it's a one-time fee. It's $40 for the 40 weeks. One-time fee, you're in it forever, and it's delivered to your inbox. And I thought that, you know, because it's free on the blog, it's free in the app, the podcast's free, there's so much free, I could either have people pay for the app or pay for the email, and I thought that the email was the better way to ask people. I don't have a lot of people that are signing up for it, but the people who are really, really like it. Like, they want it to come to their inbox on Monday morning and tell them what week they're on and tell them where to get the podcast and where to get the blog post, and all they have to do is click the link. It's a very simple email. There's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. It really is just accountability for them in their inbox.
I'm curious, Lisa, with, you know, having the fee to get it via email, which I think all your reasoning makes perfect sense. Now, has that gone really well? Are people buying that subscription quite a lot?
They are buying it. Not quite a lot, but I never needed quite a lot to do it. Like, my thought was if I could sell 5 to 10 of those a month, it would pay for the email subscription that I had to go to in order to offer this service to my audience. So that is my goal, and I have met and exceeded that goal. I don't look at it as a money maker. I look at it as kind of like a way for you to get accountability in your inbox. And honestly, I don't sell very much on the Organize 365. There aren't a lot of ways for people to pay for any of my services, and some of my readers are looking for a way to pay for all of the free content that they get. So it's $1 a week, and they get all of this free content, and then this is their inbox. They're like, well, yeah, because you've given so much free to us that we want to pay you back in some way.
And I think you made a good point that maybe a lot of readers don't understand who aren't in the blogging world, that email does cost money.
Right.
Once you get to a certain point or certain programs or platforms, email does cost that blogger money, whereas some of the other ways that you put content out there doesn't cost you ongoing expenditure, such as like your blog
Actually, that's not quite true because, you know, your blog does cost money. I mean, there's the web hosting, and then I have assistants, and then you've got to get all that out on social media. It has to be edited, and then you need run your Facebook groups, which is your time, which is worth money. And then you have the free email list that people can be on, and I pay for the app. And there are a lot of expenses that my blog has. It's way more than double our mortgage to run the blog and all these other quote-unquote free things that I offer my audience. So I think that knowing that you are in business and you're offering something for free, you do need to have some kind of a revenue model in there where people who want to can give you money back to help with all of those things that you're putting out there that look like they're for free.
Yeah. I want to point out too, I hopped over to your Etsy shop, Lisa, and you're doing awesome over there. So this shop, Organized 365, you've been open since May of 2014. You've had 691 sales.
Oh, really?
And some of your products are, you know, on the higher expense side, like because you have like a branding and blogging e-course for $97 or like how to hire help e-course for $17. And then, you know, you've got your organizing sheets that are, you know, maybe $7 or whatever, but you've got some of your more expensive products over here too. So I think that's an interesting thing as well, that even those bloggers who maybe don't view themselves as like, oh, I'm not an Etsy seller, I'm a blogger. But like, what a great way to just link to your shop, and it's so easy to get started on Etsy, but now you have like all of these digital products that you can offer over there.
Yes, because coaching and teaching is the heart of me. Like, I want you to get your house organized. I think everybody should start a business. It's crazy. And so I took all of those things and turned them into digital products because some people can't afford to hire me as a coach, and some people don't want to. You know, they just want the information so that they can get started. But I found Etsy the easiest way to keep all of that in one platform.
Yeah, and it's so easy to get started on Etsy. They've really done a good job at that setup process, making it simple for everyone. I like that. And I wanted to ask more about your app and the process that it took, that you went through to create that app. I mean, I wouldn't even have a clue of where to get started if I had an idea for an app, which I don't, but I wouldn't have a clue where to begin.
So there was an organizer, Laura Whitman from Org Junkie, had an organizing app that came out a couple of years ago, and I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, I would love to have an organizing app. So, and I listened to a lot of podcasts and a lot of entrepreneurs, and making iTunes apps was something like Pat Flynn was into for a while, so it always was in the back of my mind. And my sister had a friend in our hometown that makes apps, and so her company is called BA4U, Mobile Solutions. And so I had talked to her a year ago about making a blog, an app, but I couldn't afford it at that time. And I'm glad I didn't make it then, because what I was going to do is really create the Organize 365 website in app form. And I'm glad I didn't do that, because that would not have really served any purpose. But what I ended up doing this spring was calling her and seeing if we could turn this 40 weeks, one whole house into an app, because that would help people complete the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge and take away everything else that's on the Organize 365 site, so that when people go there, they can really just focus on the Sunday basket, the 40 week challenge, and getting a handle on their house. So that's why I did the app.
Do you mind sharing like a ballpark figure for how much people can expect to pay for
an app? Yeah, my app was $2,000. And then it has a hosting fee, just like your blog does. So it has a $50 a month hosting fee. And I, you know, we are working on seeing if it's going to be a revenue generator, but I think more it's a community builder for me. So we have, I think, 3,000 people on the app, because when you have an app, just like a blog, you could see who's there, how many Android, how many iTunes. And I had it developed for both platforms, and it's pretty evenly split. I have about half on Android, half on iTunes. Another neat thing is that I can push out a notification. You know how you get that little circle that's red that has a number one or two on your apps? Like, I can do that. So this Monday morning, I was like, hey, it's week four. I want you to tell me if you're going to donate things or if you're going to sell them during the challenge. And that went out to everybody who had the app. And then there's a little circle that says a number one on there so people could see what I had to say and remind them to start the next week of the challenge. And then they can link straight into our Facebook group from there, and they can chat within the in there too, because it's such a – it's so hard to organize your house by yourself. Unless you're crazy like me and really, really love it. And most people don't really, really love it, but they know it has to be done. And so that community aspect really, really helps.
Do you think people are finding you through your app, or do you think it's mostly people that find you on your blog or through the podcast and then get
to the app? So I think all of those people were on my email list or my blog or podcast. I don't think any of them found me organically originally. And the app has only been out, I think, for 6 weeks, but I really, all summer long, I was like, I'm reorganizing my site and the app is coming. So I had them really, really excited about it. Or like in the Facebook group, they were talking about they don't have a 40-week printable, like where they can check off things. And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. So I said, all right, I'll work on getting that. Well, then I had like 118 people like that post. So I knew they were excited. And so again, I had to pay a graphic designer to make this printable that I'm going to offer free, right? So I just teased them. After I got it from my graphic designer, I didn't have time to get it into like an email sequence. So I just printed it out, took a picture, and put it in the Facebook group. And I said, this is coming tomorrow morning. And they went crazy because they were so excited about it. And so it's just a silly free printable, not free to me, but free to them. And so they loved that. And then the next day, someone else said, well, since that works so well, can we have a free printable for the Sunday basket challenge? I said, all right, well, let me think about that. Well, another reader commented, and she said, well, I already have one if I'm allowed to share it. And I was like, yeah, you can share it. So she shared her free printable, and then she gave it to me and said, you can use it wherever you want, just as a thank you for everything you've done to help me get organized. So now I have that printable that I could put on the blog too. So it's that whole community of working with each other, figuring out what they need in order to help them be successful, and then providing those resources back to them.
That's awesome. That's really cool that I mean, that's a lot of people that are excited about a free printable, you know?
I know.
Thank you so much for chatting with us today, Lisa. We have learned a lot. My head's spinning with new ways to be more productive and more organized. As we wrap up, do you have either, well, I'm guessing it'll be a funny mom moment since your kids are a little bit older, maybe a little less adorable, but I'll leave that up to you.
Well, I was thinking about this question, and my son is in high school, and he likes to make electronic music. So actually, the music on my podcast is created by him because you have to have original music for your podcast. So I was driving him to school one day, and I said, what do you think about all these different businesses I have and what your mom does? And he goes, well, it's very helpful because I'm going to be an inventor, and I'm going to need to know how to run my own business, and you already know that.
That's really fun.
I think that's impressive if a teenage boy thinks his mom could be helpful. I think you've accomplished that.
He's just sweet.
Oh, that's good. Lisa, could you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
Sure. I've made a special page just for your audience where they can download that Sunday basket printable I talked about. And then also I have a checklist for anybody who thinks a professional organizer is a job. Like a lot of people go, I could get paid for that? Yes, and very well you could get paid for that. So I have a business checklist there, but it's really great for anybody who's in business, the 8 steps to starting your own business, and that's at organize365.com/brilliant.
Yay, how cute.
And thank you so much for coming on the show. We definitely had a lot of fun getting
Thanks.
To know
you. I love listening to your podcast. I've listened to every episode, and I can't wait to hear the rest.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/109, and we'll link to that special page that Lisa was kind enough to create for you guys. I also wanted to mention that if you are an email subscriber to our list, and we will have a link to our email list in the show notes as well, we have a super secret freebies page for anyone that is on our email list, and you'll get the password to that page when you become an email subscriber. We just added a pretty printable for free to the freebies list, and I forgot to tell you, a couple weeks ago, we added a coupon code to our Etsy shop to our email freebies page. So become a subscriber. I guess I should specify the coupon code is for our Brilliant Business Moms Etsy shop. So you don't want to miss out on that. And you can get the new free pretty printable, the coupon code to our Etsy shop, plus I think at least half a dozen other printables and freebies that can be helpful to you as you are running your business. So head to the show notes, brilliantbusinessmoms.com/109, and we'll have a link to our email list. And it's always on our sidebar as well if you're ever looking for it on another page. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.